From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Guy Raz. The British consider St. Paul's Cathedral a national treasure. The marriage of Charles and Diana took place there, as did Churchill's funeral. These days, though, the London landmark is also the backdrop for another kind of drama, a protest camp modeled on the Occupy Wall Street movement. NPR's Philip Reeves says it's causing upheaval in the heart of British society.
This is the 19th day of the protest here at St. Paul's Cathedral, one of the world's great landmarks. Tonight, London's going about its business. There are double-decker red buses passing by, black cabs waiting for passengers, and people thronging around the cathedral steps where, just a few yards from the front door, there's a cluster of scores of small, brightly coloured tents. This wasn't the original idea. When they first arrived, the protesters here were heading for the London Stock Exchange nearby. The police blocked their path, so they came here instead. Thus began a chain of events that had some very unexpected consequences.
The protesters' main targets are bankers and politicians, whom they blame for a capitalist system they say has gone badly wrong. Yet their presence outside St. Paul's has also caused deep division within England's official church, the Church of England. Soon after they arrived, the clerics who run St. Paul's shut the cathedral for nearly a week, citing safety reasons. St. Paul's hasn't closed since Hitler's bombers blitzed London. There was a huge outcry and words of disapproval, even from other churchmen.
I mean, it's very easy for me to criticise from the outside. I'm very loath to do that. But in retrospect, the symbol of closing the doors, I think that was a real mistake, closing for the week.
That's the Reverend Alan Green, rector of a church close by St. Paul's. The controversy grew even bigger when St. Paul's launched legal proceedings to remove the protest camp. Some clerics believe the church should, like Jesus, be on the side of the poor and therefore should support the protesters. A heated debate began in Britain about the church's role. The church's most senior cleric, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, has now weighed in. He's positive about the protest.
It's triggered awareness of the unfinished business, really, in the financial sector. The unfinished business between government and banks, the whole sense of the need to press for something that will deliver a juster, more rational system.
This week, St. Paul's dropped its legal action against the protest camp, and the cathedral's dean resigned. He's the second senior figure at St. Paul's to quit over the protest. This row has damaged the standing of the cathedral and the clerics who run it. One local parliamentarian called St. Paul's a national laughingstock. But the Bishop of London, Richard Charters, is confident it'll recover.
Christians are very used to near-death experiences. They're also used to resurrections. The cathedral is burnt down. Its symbol is the phoenix. I have absolutely no doubt that that will be the story this time as well.
As for the protesters, their problems are not over. They secured another victory this week when the City of London authorities suspended their effort to evict them. But this could easily resume. That doesn't worry antiques dealer Adam Murray. He's been outside St. Paul's for all 19 days. He doesn't intend to give up now.
And if it snows and there's a blizzard and there's gale force winds or a typhoon or a hurricane, I'm still going to stay. It's not going to put me off. It's the idea itself. It's what we need to stand up for.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, London.